This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 57.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Another Flip Empire Q&A show here. And hopefully you've been following along, this is the fourth part of a series I'm doing where in episode 51, I talked about how does a lead get processed. Episode 53, I talk about, you know, what does our lead manager do to then transition over that particular lead or homeowner over to our acquisitions manager if they identify motivation and it's worth having an appointment to get that person in front of the seller. And then in episode 55, I talked about then once our acquisitions manager contracts the property, how does it get transitioned over to our sales manager, our dispositions manager? And then now what I want to do is now that we've marketed the contract, we've, you know, our sales manager has gotten the property under contract with our cash buyer. We have a non-refundable earnest money deposit held in escrow with our title company, not the buyer's title company. Paperwork is taken care of. Now, how does the property get transitioned in our CRM over to our dedicated transaction coordinator? And so again, similar to our acquisitions manager, our sales manager, our transaction coordinator inside of our CRM has a checklist of the different things that she needs to do in order to ensure a smooth closing, communicate with all parties, and just make sure that the property gets to the closing table, it closes, and everybody gets paid. So first off, in our CRM, she will change the status. Actually, our sales manager will change the status to pending sale, and that'll automatically trigger a series of tasks and emails and different things that our transaction coordinator needs to do. So our transaction coordinator will go into the deals whiteboard and will download the executed A to B contract with our seller, the executed B to C contract with the buyer, and then anything else, any other files that the title company needs to have. And basically in Gmail, she has a canned response where she clicks a button, it pre-populates an email, and she will attach all of the files and add the contact information for all the parties involved, you know, the buyer, the seller, if there's an agent or a cool wholesaler that's involved in the deal. And she will send that email over to the title company and also request that the title and lien search is ordered immediately. So some people will do that once they get the property under contract from the seller. We actually do it after we've gotten under contract with the buyer. Now, one of the things that the acquisitions and sales manager will do is check the public records to see if there's any open permits, violations. And so while it's not a full search that a title and lien is going to give you, we always do that first. And then once we get the property under contract, we will then order title and lien. I've also seen it done, you know, that you can order it once you get the property under contract. I'd probably recommend that if you're just getting started, if you haven't closed a lot of deals, maybe you don't have too much experience. But you know, the reason is that we just don't want to be ordering title and lien, especially if, you know, if you're not confident in the deal that you're going to be able to get it sold, maybe you don't have a big buyer's list, or maybe you're just not sure if it's a deal. You might want to see if you can get it sold before you go ahead and order the title and the lien search. And so, you know, some of the things that our transaction manager will do is she'll verify that the buyer, if they're buying in a corporation name, you know, that it's an active corporation here in the state of Florida. And there's a website, sunbiz.org, where you know she can do that. If there's an association, that maybe it's a condo, or maybe you know, it's got some sort of homeowners association, she'll make sure that the HOA has been contacted and the buyer is you know, probably has to fill out an application to get approved. So she'll basically communicate with the seller, with the buyer, with the title company, and make sure that anything and everything that needs to get done in order for the property to close happens. Okay. And then one of the things that she will do is just keep in contact with all the parties and just keep them in the loop as to what's going on. I find that if you just assume that everything is okay, and that the seller is fine, you're risking the deal and you're risking the seller getting worried about, you know, why haven't I heard anything? It's been a week and I haven't heard from anybody. So make sure that you're in constant communication, especially with the seller. Typically, if you're dealing with a seasoned buyer, you know, they'll know what's going on. Or if you're dealing with an agent who has a buyer, the agent will keep them in the loop. We still like to keep in contact on the B2C side, you know, buyers, agents, wholesalers, but especially with the seller. Make sure that on a weekly basis, I talked about that on the previous episode, that you are keeping in contact with them, letting them know what's going on. There's, you know, sometimes if you have a JV partner involved, the transaction coordinator will make sure that the JV agreement, the marketing agreement, is signed by all the parties, that the title company has that. She'll then, about 5 to 7 days later, she'll be in contact with the title company. When the title and lien comes back, she will review it and make sure that everything is good, or if there's something that needs to get resolved. Usually, if we know the property has an issue, we will add that in our B2C contract. We'll communicate to our buyers that they need to sign a hold harmless at closing and that they're taking the property with potential liens, open permits, violations. So we'll always disclose to our buyers what we know about it. But in the event that we're marketing the property with clear and marketable title, and something comes up on title, our transaction coordinator will work with the seller or the title company to get it resolved. Like I remember there was a deal we closed a few months ago where there was an open permit for something pet related. I forgot what it was. And so our transaction coordinator actually went to that department at the city, and it was an old open permit. It was just a matter of, you know, working with them to get it closed. And that got done within a couple of days. This is a very important position on your team, because when you start closing a few deals a month and maybe you're doing 3, 4, 5 deals and you start to grow your business, if you're the one that's wearing the transaction coordinator hat and you're involved in communicating with all the parties, making sure that all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed on the paperwork, you're communicating with the title company, you're having to resolve title issues, it can be a full-time job. Even with a couple properties, 2, 3 properties, if it's got title issues and you got to get, you know, roll up your sleeves and get involved, it can be time consuming. So about 2 years ago, I hired a transaction coordinator, and it's been just an awesome person to have on the team. You can even start off if you're only doing, you know, a couple deals a month or whatever the case might be, you can hire somebody part-time. And just pay them, you know, per file, anywhere between $300 and $500 per file. So there's different ways to structure the compensation, but it's a critical team member to have. I know people that even have transaction coordinators on a salary if they're doing a lot of volume, and it becomes a full-time job for that person. So yeah, the transaction coordinator, again, I think the biggest takeaway that I want to share with you is this is the person that is going to work with everybody to ensure a smooth closing. We'll communicate with all the parties involved. She'll keep the lead record in your CRM up to date with all of the files, and you'll know exactly what's going on. So you should be able, as the CEO, as the visionary, as you know, the owner of your company, you should be able to look at your CRM and know at any point what's going on with a particular file, because you have the right person in that role. And so when you don't even have to call and ask a question, you can just log into your CRM and see what's going on. That's when you know you have the right person for your team. So and then obviously once the property gets, you know, as we're approaching the closing date, our transaction coordinator will make sure that both buyer and seller have the documents at least 24 hours before closing. We try to shoot for 48 hours if possible. Make sure that they both review it, answer any questions or objections that might come up. And then we'll actually have our transaction coordinator attend the closing with the buyer and the seller. We're usually double closing. Sometimes we're doing an assignment. And, I remember one particular deal last year. It was a pretty big deal for us. I think we made like $52,000 or $53,000. That was a net profit that we made. This particular seller was a hoarder. Okay, so you could barely walk inside the house, and she wasn't well mentally. And Like, I remember, you know, we were communicating with her, and just trying to give her directions from her house to the title company was like a huge challenge for her. Like, she was getting very anxious and nervous about having to drive, and what if she doesn't find the place? And she was like a big ball of nerves, right? She was just a wreck over that simple thing. And I remember speaking to my transaction coordinator. The transaction coordinator actually met the seller at the house, and the seller was going to go in the car with her, but she didn't feel comfortable, so she followed her to the closing. I can pretty much guarantee you that if that wouldn't have happened, she would have never found the actual title company. And the transaction, the title company, you know, they were printing out documents, and that took a while. And there was some issues at closing. And if the transaction coordinator wasn't actually sitting in the conference room with the seller, I'm almost certain at some point the seller would have just gotten nervous, overwhelmed, and walked up out of the closing. I'm like sure of it. And so that having a transaction coordinator present at the closing, I'm certain that it saved that deal. It saved the $52,000 or $53,000 net profit. So even if you don't have a transaction coordinator, you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't attend closings anymore. But if you're just getting started out, or you don't have a lot of deal volume, go to the closings. You know, one of the things that we like to do is once we close the deal, we find that the seller and the buyer are at their peak in terms of how happy they are with everyone. Especially if it was a smooth closing, try to get a video testimonial. At the very minimum, try to get a written testimonial and a picture with the seller, and add that to your website, because it really adds a lot of credibility, not only for your business, but when you or your team meets with sellers and buyers in the future, when you have a certain level of credibility, it really helps you, you know, in future deals. So anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed this 4-part series. Again, I encourage you, go back, review them all. It starts with episode 51, 53, 55, and now this one is episode 57. And again, if you want to listen to any previous episodes, just go to flipempire.com/episode and the number, and all the show notes, the resources, everything mentioned on there, you know, will be in the show notes page there on the site. So again, I hope you've enjoyed this and gotten a lot of value from it. I'd love for you to comment, give me your feedback. You know, let me know if you've built a team, or if you're in the process of building a team, let me know how it's going. Let me know if you have any challenges, and if there's anything in particular you'd like me to cover on a Q&A show in the future, or even if it's on one of the experts that I interview in our masterclass, someone in particular you'd like me to have on the show, let me know. Shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. And of course, you can always, if you have a specific question you'd like me to answer, just go ahead and click on the Ask Alex link on flipempire.com. So thanks for your time, and I will catch you on the next show.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.